Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/decide. That's linkedin.com/decide. Terms and conditions apply.
Bringing our buddy Matt George. We sent Matt George to hell just moments ago, but he is... He back. Is back, live from his very cluttered studio. Is that a part? Did you block the entranceway? What is that?
What?
That big black box that behind thing? You. Yeah.
That's a fridge. It's a mini fridge.
Oh, okay.
It's been there like months.
Oh. All right.
You're just so focused on me. Why did I go to hell? I mean, I deserved it, but why?
Well, just because you were later than I anticipated.
Oh, come on.
So I sent you to hell.
And
how did your conversation with Robert Ory go?
Great. I actually had a great time talking to Rob. He's a really nice guy. He didn't like me calling him a villain at the very beginning, but that's okay.
he's kind of hard to dislike when you hear him talk.
He was very cool. No, he had some great things to say about Sacramento. I didn't know how people were going to react to that. It was more of a positive reaction than what I was expecting. I thought people were going to go, nope, you traitor, F you, I've never listened to this podcast again. But a lot of people were actually like, it's hard to not like Big Shot Bob despite what he did. So talking to Robert was a lot of fun. I enjoyed that interview.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not, we all have the same pain from that time and, you know, that. But people would be crazy to be like, have a problem with you for having a conversation with Robert Ory.
I received some emails, some pretty significant emails, but it was the vast majority were cool with it.
That's crazy.
It was great.
It's nothing compared to what I got from Warrior fans though during the Warrior series.
You can ignore those.
Destroyed. It was I've never gotten a death threat in my life before, and I got one. It felt like it was like a moment, a milestone.
With the handful of brothers and sisters in our chat house who found us via 95.7 and the morning roast and all of that, most of those people aren't well. And sometimes when you get those emails, you know, we had a brother in our Twitter mentions last night. It was like, hey, God bless you, brother. All I could do is pray for you.
That's all I could do.
Because you are not well. And I wish you the best. He follows us. He listens. Hey, bro. Hey. God be with you, man. Hang in there. Matt will take you to his Bible college that he went to, and you know, maybe you can get peace there, because sir, you're not okay.
No.
And I worry about that fan base. I worry about their stability. I worry about what happens when Steph retires. They're gonna have a tough time. So Matt, you can take all those emails, you can send them to the junk folder, you can burn them, because that group is not well.
Well, the ones commenting on my wife's social media, they're not invited. They're not invited to the Bible college. There's no saving them.
No.
They can just go right on down the stairs to where it's warm.
The fact that they found your wife's account is amazing, because I don't think I have it.
In it?
That's
pretty great, because she's extremely private, but they found it, and they made
incredible
comments.
Bro, these people, Twitter is crazy.
Oh, it definitely
Twitter
is crazy.
They even found this man's burner account, the ref. How? How would you find that? I still don't know how you would find this burner account.
If people dedicated themselves to like criminology the way they did dedicate themselves to digging through old tweets, we would have like probably an incredible FBI system. I mean, I'm sure it's already pretty great, but boy, the amount of mysteries that Twitter can solve just by doing some digging and spending tens of hours in their basements, it's pretty incredible.
You hear that? You hear that, Dr. David? Stop digging up old tweets. Dr. Dave, unless instructed to.
They put that energy into doing something positive with their life. We could have a great
instead, great we're going to go at Matt George's wife because he's talking about the Sacramento Kings. She's very much in his job description, but
right.
Who cares?
Well, don't say a bad thing ever about Kevon Looney. You'll be fine.
Okay. What do you guys got cooking tonight? the NBA Finals?
So the NBA Finals are on ABC. So right afterwards, we'll have a post game show. Myself, Kevin, and the high flyer Henry Turner will join us.
Wow.
We'll have Jerry Reynolds on Sunday, and then after game two, and then after game three next week, your boy David Patrick will be joining us in studio.
Nice.
DP. So, and we're working on game four right now, but we have a lot of fun. We bring guests in, doing big post game shows, doing it big as much as we possibly can. I'm just hoping for a good game tonight, because I got a feeling I have a feeling Denver's going to roll tonight. So
really,
we'll see.
God, that seems to be the y'all have learned nothing. Y'all have really learned nothing.
You know, the crazy thing about it is, I kind of understand it. Like, I kind of get it. I do. But Denver, like, probably really believes they're being disrespected going into the series. Like, everybody's going to pick them to win this series.
Okay. So why would Denver feel disrespected?
That's the whole point.
Oh.
That's the whole point. I feel like feel disrespected. Like, you guys aren't disrespectful.
Like Matt said it. I think Sarah said it. Kyle said it. Like everybody's got – it's not just – I mean, I'm cool with anyone who thinks Denver's going to win, but all three of you – and I think Kenny,
Denver,
all four of you.
Five. Denver and five.
Y'all got Denver just plowing through the little old Miami Heat tonight.
Oh, see, I wouldn't say – oh, well, tonight, yeah. I just think Denver's rested. They haven't lost. What did you say earlier? They haven't lost at home since March.
That's
there.
I
mean,
yeah.
The elevation plays a factor, I think, as well. And there's always an adjustment a little bit to that, but I'm not going to spend too much time on that. Plus, like, they've had time, and the Heat just went through a grueling war. Although, one of the things I love that Eric Spoelstra said after game six was he was like, man, we want to play right now. We want to play right now. We want to get this back right now. And the Miami Heat looked in game seven like they were staring at the clock and not sleeping until that moment, because they took the floor in Boston in game seven and said, finally, here's our chance to make this right. And they made it right quickly. So maybe the Miami Heat keep that same energy going into game one, but man, I think Denver's poised. I think they're ready. I think they just have a lot of weapons. Plus, I don't know how you can stop Jokic when he's shooting fade away, catapult behind the head threes that are going in. So I don't know what you do against that, man. I don't think it's going to be a sweep. Five games even feels – I think it's like Denver and six. I know I'm very actively rooting for Denver, even though I predicted coming into this year that the champion was going to be in the East. I'm actively rooting for Denver simply because of Mike Malone, and I want to see him have that moment and see him get that championship. But I think it's going to be a good series. I think it's going to be competitive, and Miami posts some problems for Denver that people aren't really talking about, because everybody's talking about the problems that Denver has for Miami. So I think it's going to be fun.
What do you see? What problems do you see that Miami poses for Denver?
Well, I think in comparison to – I know taking on the L.A. and Anthony Davis, and Anthony's certainly no scrub, but like I think Bam Adebayo is being slept on a little bit in this series. Like I think Bam is going to be able to do more than what – like people are thinking like it's going to be – if there's going to be a dominant center, it's Nikola Jokic, and there's absolutely no chance in hell that Miami can even compete. And to me, I think Bam has a lot more to offer there. Plus, like I think – I personally think if Miami's going to win this series, I think Jimmy Butler needs to average like 35 a game. But I think he's capable of doing that on this biggest stage. I mean, I think he's going to absolutely give it his all too. I think the Denver Nuggets are pretty reliant on their depth at times. Mm-hmm. And that's worked for them to this point, which is why I think it's going to be good for game one with how rested they are. But in my opinion, like, I don't think Miami or Denver is going to be able to get that depth output every single night in this series like they've gotten to this point in the playoffs. I think there are going to be nights where Nikola Jokic is going to be doing his thing, but maybe Jamal Murray struggling, or MPJ struggling, or Aaron Gordon struggling, or maybe two out of the four of those guys. And that's going to be enough for Miami to win by 5-10 points.
Yeah, that's a great point, Matt, because Denver's like a seven-man rotation, I think, and Miami just, you know, they can't really do that. I'll say this, though. Maybe it's because I didn't cover him. Like, I do not have the sentimental attachment to Michael Malone. I like him like I like Eric Spoelstra. Like, I like him as another coach in the league. But I feel like a lot of people here have this really – and I guess it's maybe because you guys covered him. Like, I just don't have that attachment to – Michael Malone that so many of you guys do.
Actually, I never got to cover Michael when he was here in Sacramento. When he was fired, it was when I just started, or was very early on into my internship when I started in this industry. And so to me, like, my love of Mike Malone came from, like, you could see the tides were turning. And to me, Mike Malone was one of the biggest wrongs that the Sacramento Kings organization has ever made. I remember putting out a tweet a while ago where I said, if I could take back one of the Kings drafting Luka or firing Mike Malone, I would take back them firing Mike Malone. I was destroyed for that take at the time, but I still stand by it. Like, as much as I love Mike Brown, and Mike Brown's making it finally an easier pill to swallow, I think the Kings wouldn't have been even remotely close to this position if Mike Malone had stuck around and they hadn't made the mistakes that we blame Pete D'Alessandro for. And I had Jason Jones on my podcast today. We were talking about villains, and Pete D'Alessandro is one of the villains that came up. We blame Pete for the Mike Malone firing, and rightfully so. Pete was a disaster here. But also, we know there are things going on outside of the front office that from higher up that also influence decisions like that as well. Mm-hmm. So I think the Kings firing Mike Malone was an absolute disaster that set them back another 5-6 years, and is the reason why this playoff drought the Kings finally broke is the longest in NBA history.
Yeah, that's a good question. Usually with me, Matt, I'll take the player, you know, as opposed to the coach. So when you talk about if you could take one of the decisions back, you know, I'd probably go with drafting Luka instead of Bagley over firing Michael Malone. But point well taken. I mean, you had the player in DeMarcus Cousins who believed in the coach, and it seemed like they were starting to have some type of symmetry, and it was a really good building block that you talk about rebuild and can't ever rebuild because nothing has been built. Mm-hmm. Well, they had a couple of blocks up, like, you know, like a nursery area. They had a couple of blocks up, and then they just slapped the blocks down.
Yeah.
Like, you were starting to build something. Like an angry child. And just slapped the blocks down. So
you also had a really, really good three in Rudy Gay, who stayed because of Mike Malone specifically and wanted to be a part of this going forward. And then he was pissed that Mike Malone was fired, and that was never really the same. Plus, I don't know if Mike Malone would have been able to handle this better or not. There were incidents at times of the relationship between Rudy Gay and DeMarcus Cousins at times too, that I think Mike Malone would have handled. Mm-hmm. So I think Mike Malone the decision to fire Mike Malone, blindsiding everybody by firing Mike Malone, started an avalanche that took this Kings organization until this season to recover, until the hiring of Mike Brown. Literally, all those head coaches that the Kings went through after Mike Malone, even ones that we liked, like Dave Yeager to some extent, like, all of that is a wrong you had to right because you fired Mike Malone. And thank God Mike Brown came in here and finally was the right.
Yeah. And, you know, I think the Kings can still, the Kings front office, Mike Brown, but particularly the Kings front office and ownership, they can still draw from Michael Malone and this Denver Nuggets team, because we talked about what an incredible arc this is for them. Now, you know, when you talk about, there were questions about Michael Malone in recent years about whether he could take this group to the next level, whether this group could get to the next level, and they dealt with, and while this year has been fun and it's exciting and all that stuff for Sacramento, it's, you're going to face hiccups, whether it's next season or the season after or the season after that. At some point with this core group, where you're going into the season hoping you're going to advance in the playoffs, hoping you're going to win a championship, you're going to face hiccups. And that's what the Denver Nuggets did. They faced hiccups in Michael Porter's injury and Jamal Murray's ACL tear. And they dealt with, you know, clickbait columns on, you know, Michael Malone and whether he should be on the hot seat or not. Could someone else get them over the hump? Are you wasting Nikola Jokic there by not advancing in the playoffs? They withstood all of that, stayed the course. We've seen a lot of very good teams with a lot of very good players, Matt, not stay the course in recent weeks. And I think for the Sacramento Kings front office and for the Sacramento Kings ownership, that's what you look at, that. Stay the course and trust that what you've built, that you'll be able to, you know, excel in the good times, but more importantly, fight through the bad.
And Mike Malone and Mike Brown have something very in common specifically that I really like. And that's how big of advocates that they are for their guys. Like, I love what Mike Malone was talking about, how all the conversation was about the Lakers and nothing about Nikola Jokic. And he's 100% right. And he's saying things that fans have been saying when we turn on ESPN every single night and the Lakers could lose by 20, but it's four LeBron highlights and then maybe a made three by the leading scorer of the team to beat the Lakers. Like, we're all tired of this. We get why it happens, but we're all tired of it. The same way Mike Brown hasn't necessarily said something about that, but the way Mike at the beginning of the season spoke out against the officiating, very blatantly, the way he said Keegan Murray should be in the Rookie of the Year conversation because he's doing what no other rookie is doing. The way he has advocated it, and he was advocating for Malik Monk being Sixth Man of the Year at the first month of the season when Malik was Band-Aid, Monk was balling out. He was advocating for Fox and Sabonis to be All-Stars and All-NBA players months into the season. So, like, the two of them, the way they are advocates for their players, which is another reason why I think Mike and DeMarcus connected so well, because Mike can tear into players. Mike Brown, Mike Malone, they can both tear into their players, but those players respond to it. And there's a famous incident that happened. I wasn't there for it, but I remember hearing the story about, like, an incident, a shouting match between Mike Malone and DeMarcus Cousins pretty early on. But DeMarcus and Mike Malone bonded because DeMarcus knew that Mike had his back. And I think there's a lot of that similarities, those similarities with how the Kings run now. And Mike Brown can call out a Kings player publicly in front of the media at the podium, or he can do it in the practice facility. And we've heard so many comments about how he focuses more on Fox and Sabonis than anybody else, and his team responds to that. Like, I think that element of coaching is something that I don't know if other coaches do it. I'm sure Eric Spoelstra does it. I'm sure other coaches around the league do it to some extent. But those are very distinct similarities between Malone and Brown that we haven't really seen in any Kings coach. Or if we have seen, it wasn't done the right way. Like, Dave Yeager would yell at his players, but it wasn't necessarily handled correctly. The George Karl incident was not handled correctly. You could even go back to like Luke Walton trying to shorten the leash on Buddy Hield, and then all of a sudden Buddy Hield had the biggest green light on the roster after some comments were made. So clearly Mike Brown and Mike Malone do things differently to where they can keep control and hold their guys accountable, but those guys respect them and appreciate them for it. And I think that's pretty important to highlight.
And you're 100% right about that, Matt. But the other thing that makes that work is he goes at Fox and Sabonis, and Fox and Sabonis, they take it. They listen to what he's saying. They accept it and they go and fix it. And I'm a big believer in this. I'm not reinventing the wheel, but a big believer in, like, Pop with Tim Duncan and Tony Parker in San Antonio. If the coach is getting on the quote-unquote star players and they're accepting it and they're listening to what he's saying and trying to correct it, there's no way that the seventh guy in the rotation can't do the same thing. Those things only work if you have the stars, for lack of a better term, participating in that as well. And Fox and Sabonis, and they participate in it. Jokic, Jamal Murray, they participate in it with Mike Malone. And I'm sure Jimmy Butler does the same thing with Coach Spo. It only works if the star player is in line with you. So I think they deserve credit for that working as well.
I agree.
It's like, I don't know if Matt's going to respond. I'm not sure.
You're wrong, Kenny.
DeMarcus and Mike Malone are like me and Matt. We just had to yell at each other, and then we bonded after that. And everything.
Who's DeMarcus and who's Mike Malone?
I don't know, to be honest with you. I'm probably DeMarcus. DeMarcus
was a hothead. You're Mike Malone. And I was like, well, maybe not.
No, DeMarcus was a hothead. It was probably you're probably Mike Malone in that scenario.
I have a joke that I'm not going to say.
Okay. Well, for some reason, I'm thankful you didn't say it, because I know the way your brain works sometimes.
Yes.
I take it you got Denver in the series.
Yeah, I'm rooting for Mike Malone. So I'm going to say Denver. I think Denver in six. I'll take Denver in six. I think the Miami Heat, they've put up so much of a fight in every single series to this point. They deserve the respect of saying that they're going to push Denver to a limit that maybe they haven't been pushed yet. So I say Denver in six.
Would this be the most improbable title ever?
Yeah.
I mean, certainly recent memory.
The only one that ever comes close in my mind is that 95 Rockets team. But the Rockets were the defending champions when they did that. They were a six seed.
Yeah.
And I remember they beat, like, all the teams they beat won like 60 games.
Oh, that's right. I remember you.
Yeah, but they were the defending champions.
Yeah.
They had a Clyde Drexler. Yeah. This will be crazy.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.